I am led to share again with us tonight some of the things that will benefit you not only today, not only for this weekend, but for many years to come. I'll share with you the things that you will find useful when you are alone, when your pastor may not be there, when no prayer warrior may not be there, when you are alone in your midnight season. And whether you like it or not, every man, every woman born of God, you will have your midnight season. A time comes wherein it is what is inside of you or what God can do for you at that time that will bail you out. And some principles about God, about His presence, about the need to seek His face. These are everlasting and eternal principles that will help you for years to come. You will not forget this message in a hurry, because you will find this useful again and again. As God opened my eyes to some of this several years, some decades ago, today, we have no regret, all right, for enlisting ourselves in the army of God and for doing this business. And I believe in the name of the Elohim of Israel, God will also cause this to work for you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, you can title this message, Accessing the Benefits and Privileges of His Presence. Accessing the benefits and the privileges of His presence. I share with you in the morning, for those of you that were around, that we have three categories of praying Christians or praying believers. Some believers that use a prayer as only a means of obtaining blessings from God. Some other believers that use prayers as means of fighting spiritual warfare. And some believers that use prayer as a way of fellowshipping with God. And eventually they end up becoming the friend of God. And I really want to be the friend of God. It's good and it's great to actually be the friend of God. And you have this man, David, in the Bible, that did so many things. And when you look at David, David was a friend of God. In spite of his shortcomings, in spite of his sins, in spite of his inadequacies, David was a friend of God. The Bible called him a man after God's heart. When God tells you that you are a man, you are a woman after my heart, that is great. That speaks about how precious you are to God. Not only that heaven recognizes David and God Almighty, even today, the today Israel recognizes what? David. If you go to Israel, if you've been privileged to go to Israel, you will see how the Israelites still respect, all right, David. You go to Mount Zion, the city of David. You will see how the high priest and how the church, they are still revere David. In 2003, when I went on holy pilgrimage and I led the Oshun State contingent as the chaplain, you know, to Holy Land, all right, just to, you know, get them, you know, to see the Holy Land and to pray. We had a number of things we saw and I discovered about David. Do you know, if you get to Israel today, 24 hours round the clock, they still chant and they still say one thing or the other about David. They are never tired. On the altar like this, wherein you have, you know what is called the tabernacle of David, you have the priest in courses, all right? Then in shift, they come and they sing and they say one to another. They say, David, king of Israel, he lives forever. David, king of Israel, he lives forever. And we ask them, why do you respect David that much? They were able to say certain things, given their level of knowledge, their understanding, and their theology about the scripture. But some of us understand better by reason of revelation and inspiration about David and about what David did. David, as I said in the morning, was a God seeker. He was a God seeker. He sought God passionately. He sought God with the whole of his life. You look at virtually every psalm, David chose and desired to want to be in the presence of God. In the book of Psalm 84, verse 10, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of a wickedness. You hear that? He chose just to be in the house of God. In Psalm 27, verse 1, he said, one thing have I desire, and that will I seek after. One thing. Have I what? Desire. And I will seek after. To do what? He said to dwell in your house, on your tabernacle, and to inquire in his temple. That was David. You see, his desire to dwell in the house of God. And you see David prophetically declare a number of things about the Lord Jesus Christ that we see today. Are you following me? He was a prophet. He prophesied many things about what? The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll learn and see certain things David did, how he accessed the presence of God, and how those benefits, tangible benefits and intangible benefits, actually rubbed on him. Can we look at the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 16? 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11. He says, seek the Lord and his strength. He says, seek his face continually. Seek the Lord and his strength. Every believer. That is what the Bible says. He says, seek the Lord and his strength and seek his face continually. The patriarchs, they sought the face of God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Moses, and the prophet, they sought the face of God. And because they sought the face of God, they were not put to shame. Are you following me? So this man said that seek the Lord and his strength, and seek his face continually. This is what a challenge for every believer. If you are a believer, you are a child of God, you have given your life to Christ, you have been ransomed by the blood of the Lamb, it says here that seek his face continually. Not for a while. Not only for today. Not only for this weekend. Not just for a week. When things are good, when things are not good, when things are rosy, when things are pleasant and not pleasant, it says seek his face continually. Hallelujah. David in Psalm 16, verse 8. And what did he say? Psalm 16, verse 8. What did he say? I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You see that? I have set the Lord always what? Before me. David was not just a king. He was a priest. He was a man who was a king among all the kings that excelled. All the other kings, they were only administrators. But this man combined the work of a king as an administrator, a monarch, and also a priest unto God. And a prophet unto God. So he combined several anointings. And one of the things in that sense, I have set the law always before me. And because he is at my right hand, there is nothing that will move me. The eyes that see God regularly cannot see corruption easily. Do you understand that? The eyes that see God regularly cannot see corruption easily. No way. You can't be rubbished. You can't be messed up. The enemy cannot just mess up your life. It is not possible. Why? Because you see God regularly. It is not possible. So here, he has said, seek the Lord and his strength and his face continually. Verse 27 of that first Chronicles. He says something. He said, glory and honor are in his presence. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Hallelujah. Glory and honor are what? Are in his presence. People look for glory. People look for strength. People look for honor. You don't know where to find honor. You can't have honor by forcing or compelling people to honor you. But here I say, glory and honor. True, genuine, unadulterated glory and honor can be found only in his presence. He's there with him. And he gives to whoever he chooses. Here are some of the things I call tangible and intangible benefits of staying in his presence. Glory. What is a glory? I can preach and preach and preach and preach and talk about glory and glory and glory and glory, you know, for days. Because of understanding that I've received about glory. I call glory a spiritual currency with which you purchase in the market of life. Your worth in life is a measure of the glory of God that you carry. Follow me closely tonight. Your worth, how you are going to manifest or operate, or what you are going to be, what you are going to get upon the surface of the earth is a measure of the glory of God that you carry. The glory, the measure of the glory that is upon you will determine what you can purchase in the market of life. There are so many Christians
and people, they are gloryless. No glory at all. You can't really see the glory over their lives, and they carry, and some Christians or believers, they carry the glory of God in a measure, maybe in small amounts. Glory carriers. There are some people who call them HIV carriers, AIDS carriers. When you carry that, then you can infect people. So also, you can be what? A glory carrier. When you carry the glory of God, wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you do, there will be what? An amazing difference. Whoever sees you, they see something unique. They see something extraordinary about your life. Whatever you touch, something happens to that. The business that you touch, because you carry the glory of God, something will happen to that business. You are working in any establishment, whatever you do, all right, in that particular place, all right, it rubs on people. Why? You carry the glory of God. So the glory of God, I know what I carry. I'm telling you. In the class, I tell some of my students, many of them may not understand. When they share students for project supervision, either for undergraduate or master's or PhD, and one way or the other, some students come under me. Many times when they come, I just laugh. And I normally tell them, some of them that are not unbeliever or not Christian, they may not understand. But those who are Christian, they should be able to understand certain things. And this is what I tell them. Contact with this is blessed eternally. I tell them, whoever has contact with me is blessed eternally. And I know it. It is not possible for you to have contact with me and you will not be blessed eternally. It is not because I know what I carry. I can give you testimonies, you know. Some of the people that have even passed through me, they are watching. They are far more than, and that is good. That is the success of what of a mentor. I've been a professor now for about 13 years. And I've also been able to replicate myself. I've been able to have 5 professors scattered all over the continent that I've raised, that I've mentored. If you're an academic, you will know what it takes to be a professor. No, talk to raise others. Some people, they retire from the university. After 70 years, they cannot produce one single professor. Not one. And the reason is because whenever they come, what I carry, all right, it happens unto them, and they begin to fly. They begin to fly. The one, all right, maybe one way or the other, not destined to be successful or something, whatever, by reason of contact, something happens to that person and he begins to do well. Why? Because of what God has deposited in us. And that is exactly what I'm saying. Whatever you carry, we rub on what? On the people that listen to you. Wherever. And that is a glory. So glory is so important. It is not good for you as a believer to go about without glory over your life. Without you carrying the glory of God over your life. Glory, as you see, might be something. You may say, how can we see glory? Can we see it? You know, it's not something. Yes, it may be something intangible, but listen to me, it is also tangible. Look at Moses. Moses was in the presence of God for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came, the Bible says, the glory of God upon his face makes his face to shine. The Lord Jesus Christ on the mountain of transfiguration. He took Peter, James, and John, and when they got there, these are prayerless guys. They could not pray. They could not do anything. But Jesus Christ, because of what? He ascended to the throne in prayer. what happens? The Bible says the spectacular took place. And they say, wow, what a glorious thing. Let us have a 3 tabernacles here. Those who are prayerless, the word, they watch and they see glory. They just watch it. They do not generate it. They just see it. And sometimes they will not experience it. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, his dress became white as snow. There's a revelation there. Jesus Christ, by reason of a royalty, normally he was always dressing and going about in a royal apparel. And that is a purple dress. But by the time he got there, he was completely changed. So glory actually can be seen. And when glory actually is also not seen physically or palpably, all right, there is the manifestation of what? Of the glory of God over a particular person. Hallelujah. I can never forget this incident in 1996. In 1996, myself and my spiritual mentor, Reverend Ronsola, we were in London, in Croydon, outside, and we were going to preach in one of the churches. And because of a distance, at that particular time, about 3 or 4, brethren were with us to lead us to that particular place. And we were to go by what, by train. And we sat down like this waiting for a service to come because we got there on time and the first service had gone. So we sat down, and when we sat down, other people also sat down waiting for that train service. Then all of a sudden, a British police officer just came and he was walking. And he walked past us like this. He was looking at me and all of us. He was looking and he was going. When he was looking at us, he said, why are you looking? I was saying, what is the problem? We don't know you. What is he? I said, well, maybe if you are suspecting anything, there is no problem. We are here legally. Everything is okay. So there is no problem. Nothing to fear. So he went like that. Then he came back again. And when he came back again, he was looking again. I said, what is the problem? What is going on? Then all of a sudden, he stopped and he stood and he looked at me. He said, I see something unique about you. He said, I can see something shining on your head. He looked at Reverend Osola. He said the same thing. He said, two of you, I can see something different about you. Anyway, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in anything. And he walked away. So we look at ourselves. Say, what is this? An atheist British police officer. God opens his eyes to see what we have said did not even see. I don't know what he saw. He said he saw something shining. He said something is unique. He said, well, it's like glory of God. They say God. But anyway, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. And he walked away. Then, that 1996, something told me that, yeah, we thank God something is there. So God even opened the eyes of somebody even to see. So glory can be seen. And even when glory even is intangible, we have the manifestation of the glory. I'm sharing this for you today so that when the time comes for prayer and after, you will know what to pray for. What is a glory? Glory has weight. Glory has weight. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 16. He said, "While we look not at the things that are seen, for the things that are seen are temporal. For the things that are not seen are what? Are eternal." He said what? "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us an eternal eternal and exceeding weight of glory. He wants for us far more exceeding and what? An eternal weight of glory. Everybody say, glory has weight. I can't hear you. Glory has weight. And you can see that the Bible talks about exceeding an eternal weight of glory. You know those who box, you have heavyweight champions. So also is a glory. So, glory has weight. The glory that a man carries might be what? Might be 10 kilograms. Another person may carry 60 kilograms of weight. Another person may carry 100 kilograms of weight. So, glory has weight. I pray in the name of the Elohim of Israel, God will add unto your glory. I say, God will add unto your glory. In the name of Jesus. You see, there's tendency for you to be satisfied, to say, well, I have a measure of glory. That is just the beginning. God can add to that glory. Number two, glory differs. Glory differs. Glory is different. Glory differs. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 40. The Bible says, but there are celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. He said there is the glory of the celestial and there is another glory of the terrestrial. He said there is the glory of the sun and there is another glory of the moon and another glory of the stars. He said for one star different from another star in glory. Hallelujah. For one star differs from another star in glory. We are all stars, but the Bible says we differ in glory. We can call ourselves stars. Every believer is a star. We are stars, but what? We are different in glory. Stars, they differ. You remember the three orient wise men? When Jesus was born, those astrologers, they saw a unique star, different from all the other stars. It was so unique, it was so distinct. They saw it. Among all the stars, one star differs from another star in glory. I look at some people, I've had it before in some places, until they say, well, Christianity is a leveler. They say that. Say Christianity is a leveler. Because we are all Christians, we are in the same church, we are the same. We are the same, we are the same level. It is because their theology is weak. They lack understanding. If they know, all right, and have correct theology and it's a strong, you know that it's not a leveler. Here is an example. The Bible says, one star differs from another star in glory. Even in the church, we have different assignments. Even among the apostles, the 12 apostles, they were not equal. They were not the same. Because of what? Of grace and glory. Look at Apostle Paul. Even Peter, a vocal apostle that was with Jesus Christ, that was there, did so many things, all right? But look at Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul did what? I did far, far more, exceedingly above them. He said, well, only but what? For the grace of God upon me. That was Apostle Paul. Even Peter himself at a point had to acknowledge. He says some of the writings and the revelations of Apostle Paul is a bit difficult for some people of us to actually comprehend. Even the other apostles, they differ to him. They are all apostles, but what? They still were different. One star differed from another star in glory. Number three, about glory. Glory can increase. Glory can increase. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, but we all, beholding as in a mirror or in a glass, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. He said we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. So glory can increase. The glory that you have now can increase. You need not be stagnant. God can increase the glory. God can add to it. God can increase your stature. And I pray for somebody here listening to me today. God will increase your glory. I said God will increase your glory in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So glory can increase. You see something about glory? Glory can sleep. Glory can sleep. Can we see Psalm 57 verse 8? Let me read it to you. Psalm 57 verse 8. He said, "Awake up my glory. Awake, satri and ab. I myself, I will awake. Awake my glory. Awake my glory." People of God, this is a church of intellectuals, I know. Who do you tell to awake or to wake up? When you tell somebody wake up, who is that? What is that person doing? Is that the person is sleeping? For those of you that have young children, you want to go to war, maybe go to school, be prepared by 5 o'clock, you know, and be ready by 6, you know, because of hold up, and by, you know, some minutes to 6, that girl, that boy is still sleeping. The mama, the mother will say, wake up, shall they wake up, wake up. Why? Because he's sleeping. So glory can sleep. May your glory not sleep in the name of Jesus Christ. I say, may your glory not sleep in the name of Jesus Christ. When the glory of a man is sleeping, that is a bad thing. When the glory of a man is sleeping, that is when you see all manner of things. But when the glory of a man is awake, then you see manifestations. You see favor. Unsolicited favor. Something you don't ask for. Something you don't ask anybody for. People, men and women, they compete to show you favor. Why? Your glory is awake. In fact, your hands will be so full that you say, look, I don't think I can do this. I cannot handle this. Maybe you look for another person. Why? Your glory is awake. I decree over your life, perhaps someone is here, your glory is sleeping. Awake in the name of Jesus. Lift up your right hand and say, Father. I can't hear you. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, every sleeping glory, awake, 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 every sleeping glory, awake, awake, in the name of Jesus. Glory can sleep. You see, something say about glory? Glory can fade away. Hosea chapter 9, verse 11. Hosea chapter 9, verse 11. He said, as for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away like a bird from the bath, and from the womb, and from the conception. As for Ephraim, their glory shall fly away. What that means is that it is fine for a man to add glory and to be glorious. But that glory can disappear. Remember, I taught in the morning that seeking the face of God is not only for the poor or people that have problems. Even those who are comfortable or righteous, seeking the face of God is for them. Can you see your glory can fly away? It can be said, all right, of what? Of a man, all right, that was once glorious. And today, nothing can be said about them. For people that are, you know, relatively old, yeah, you know, and I don't want to mention names. In Nigeria, there were people that have been once rich, that when you mention their name, it's like household name. Rich people in different places in the western part of Nigeria. Rich, when you mention that name, musicians, they sang about them, they used their name to sing. Their name ringing bell all over the place. You cannot hear that name again today. You cannot hear that glory. That glory has faded away. You can't hear again. Even concerning their descendants, concerning their children, concerning their grandchildren, you cannot hear anything. You cannot even say this was what was the grandson of a disowned. So you can't, because you cannot see any glory in that person. To buttress the fact that glory can fade away. But it's good not to even have glory than to have glory or have something and to be taken away or to disappear. It's better. Because if you don't have anything, you don't have it, people will know that you don't have. The thing is not there. But now that you have, everybody now sees that you have, that you are up there. The thing now disappears. That is a bad thing. That is a retrogression. Your glory will not fly away in the name of Jesus. I need peradventure. That glory is a way. That is what. That is a restoration. And that is one of the things that a God wants to do tonight. There is a somebody here. Perhaps it's because of you that you are here. You were once there. You were once there. You have handled millions. You have really, really handled millions. But today, all right, you are even in debt. And you are here in this assembly hearing me now. This message is for you. Tonight is your night. Your destiny will change in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. That glory will come alive in the name of Jesus. That glory that was once there that disappeared, I command it to come alive in the name of Jesus. I command a restoration over your life in the name of Jesus. God, the restorer of life, restores you tonight in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory can fly away. So you see a number of things about glory. Don't let me concentrate so much about glory, because there are certain things. What we said was that in the presence of God, say glory and honor are in his presence. Do you now understand that 1 Chronicles chapter 2, 16 verse 27? He said, glory and honor. A man wants honor, a man wants divine glory. He said, you can only access it in his presence. Hallelujah. Number two, let me mention this. Divine strength. Every child of God, you need the strength of God. I'm not talking of physical strength. I'm not talking of the strength. I'm not talking of financial strength. There are different kinds of strength. We have financial strength, intellectual strength, social strength. All right? You have also what? Spiritual strength. That is the strength from the inside of you. Ladies and gentlemen, you all need divine strength. You may have financial strength, but you lack divine or spiritual strength. That is a big problem. Because there are certain things that money cannot buy. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, I think chapter 24, it says that if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. He said, if you faint in the days of adversity, your strength is small. And ladies and gentlemen, days of adversities will come. But the Bible says it is possible to faint. If that faint in the days of adversity, the strength we are talking about is spiritual strength, the inner strength. At that particular time, nothing can buy that thing for you. It takes what? The spiritual strength of God to be able to procure that thing for you. In the day of trouble, That is why David prayed in Psalm 20. He said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee." He said, "May he send you help from Zion and strengthen you out of Jerusalem." He said, "May he remember your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice." Do you hear that? So there is the one day of a trouble or the other. So the man said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of a trouble." Don't take testimony, sir, for this thing. This testimony that this, you know, a pastor gave is a great testimony. You don't know what it means, all right? Not to see a son, you know, his own is just for hours. You understand? Just for hours. And you can see pandemonium. He said that he almost did it. There's no way he will be here if that son was not found. Just for a few hours, God intervened. Several years ago, my daughter could not be found, could not be seen for more than 24 hours. Can you imagine that? We are talking of what? About almost 2 years old, or even not up to. The house elf took her away. How do you explain that? A number of issues. At that time, it was inevitable, whatever. My wife is a medical doctor, very busy. I'm into so many things. So we have helpers, you know, and stuff like that. And here was this asshole. I just came in, and I just saw the door was open. How can the door be open? Look at everywhere, you know, shouted, nothing. And I called my wife. I said, "Look, what's happening? Did you go out, you know, with her?" You know, he said, "No, she was still at work." And I didn't want to cause pain. I said, "Just come." He said, "What?" I said, "Just come." So when she came, I said, "Where is Victoria?" She said, "Could not be found." But you know women. She went in busy. We had to call the person who gave us the answer. How do we do this? The person said, "No, they asked the girl, you know, not with him." What do we do? But you can get to this place. We drove to that place. We were there from around 6 o'clock, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Nothing. The police wanted to take, you know, that man. You know, they said, "Look, there's no point, you know, doing that. Let him be free so that at least he can move around." He said, "Fine." When it was getting to 12 o'clock, because I live on campus, and they would lock UI gate by 12 o'clock, I said, "We have to go." 15 minutes before 12, that was when we got inside UI. You know, I was driving. I almost couldn't drive. My wife would just keep all those ones to throw steering. You know, and that, you know, that kind of a thing. You see, but I was really normal speed. You know, how will you sleep? She could not sleep, screaming, whatever. And I just told her, I said, "Relax. Relax. She will be found. There's no problem. It's not possible, you know, for this, you know, to go." So she slept after something. She wouldn't sleep me after, because I believe God, I slept. She pushed me and, "Whoa, you know, that can say you are sleeping. Give me my child." I said, "What is your problem? Am I the one, you know, that stole your child? What is this?" I said, "What is this that you are doing? Am I the one that stole your child? That you are saying, look for my child. Give me my child." Hallelujah. All right. Only by around 12 o'clock the following day, we just saw the girl backing the daughter and came in, you know, through the kitchen door and stood, and I saw her. They wanted to go and start. They said, No. Just take the daughter from her. No. Let's say to him, you know, and that kind of a thing. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And there will be one day of a trouble or the other. What will deliver you is not anything other than what? Divine intervention. That's why that man's prayer, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. May he strengthen you out of Zion." Receive that strength in the name of Jesus. Receive the strength in the name of Jesus. So divine strength is what can only be obtained in the presence of God. Accessing the benefits and privileges of staying in his presence. Psalm 84 verse 7, the Bible said they go from strength unto strength as they appear before God in Zion. I love that. Can you imagine? They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeared before God. In other words, this is Zion. Zion means the church of God, the house of God. That is a Zion. So when we come to church like this, we are come unto Zion. The Bible says we have come unto Mount Zion, the innumerable company of angels. We have come unto the church of the firstborn. We have come unto Jesus. We have come unto the blood of the sprinkling, the blood that speaks better things than that of Abel. So we come to what? To Mount Zion. The Bible says, when you come to Mount Zion, you receive strength. As you are here now in the presence of God, you cannot go without strength because you leave your weakness and you go away with the strength of the Almighty. That is the difference between those who are members of Zion and those who don't come to church. They go. Is from strength to strength, spiritual strength, academic strength, intellectual strength, financial strength, every form of a strength, each time they appear before God in Zion. Number three, divine direction and instruction. In this presence, divine direction and instruction. Hallelujah. You receive that what? Only in his presence. Psalm 16 verse 11. David said, thou will show me the path of life. Everybody say the path of life. He said, in thy presence is what? Is fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Thou will show me the path of life. God is the only one that can navigate life for you. Listen to me. There is no man, no woman that can say that you know life. When I was preaching in a night vigil, the crossover service, all right, the 31st, you know, through 1st of this year, you know, I was telling you, I said, only God is the one that can navigate 2018 for you. Somebody tell me, what do you know can happen in May? Tell me what can happen in April. Tell me what can happen you don't know. It is only God that can navigate the way for you. It is only God that gives divine direction. So this one said, thou will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. We need direction in life. Many Christians and believers are directionless. They are merry-go-rounding, the same thing like this again and again, because there is no direction. Even the job that they do, they try this business today, it's another one tomorrow, there is nothing. How can you be 50 years or 60 years of age and you are not arrived? How can you be 60 years of age yet you don't have a purpose, all right, or a calling? You don't know what you want to do. But you have several people like that. They still do not understand, no direction in life. Some people are where they are not supposed to be. A man left Nigeria and thought that direction or everything must end in United States. And he went to United States. If I get to America, my problems will be solved. Many people think that when you get to America, you'll be picking dollars on the street. When you get to America, you will see homeless people. You will see people that are begging for coins. You get to London, you see people spare a coin, please. All right? They don't have money to buy, you know, to get accommodation. They sleep there. Mad people are in the U.S. I've seen them. People who wear rags, they are in U.S. Some people sleep under the bridge, all right, in U.S. So don't think that what? The man left Nigeria thinking his problem will be solved in America. But lo and behold, do you know his destiny lies in Dubai? He could not make it in America. He was washing toilet, all right, with degree. He was there for several years. Until during a meeting like this, that the word of God hit him. Started hearing in Dubai, 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 Dubai. He was there until he went to Dubai. That was where his destiny was. Direction in life. You need direction. You need instructions in life. God needs to guide you. God needs to help you. Even in simple, simple matters. All right? God needs to guide you. Whenever I lose anything or I misplace anything, I cannot have anything, I always don't take things for granted. I always go, one thing you will see me is the Holy Spirit. Help me. That's what I say, Holy Spirit, help me. You know where this thing is. Navigate. Give me direction and show me. I can give you several personal testimonies of in trivial matters, in small things like that, that God has proved himself faithful. Simple prayer, telegraphic prayer. Lord, show direction. Lord, help. And you will just be, it's like somebody standing by like this, say, do it this way, do it that way, go this way, go that way. It's like you are hearing it and at the end of you find it exactly. There is a testimony of a sister in Lagos here, working in a bank. All right? The bank manager somehow trusted her because, all right, being a believer. So the key to the bank, the manager will always give to her. So one day, the sister was going back home. I don't know what happened several years ago. She decided to ride Okada. In Lagos, when you know how they drive, one thing or the other happened there. The Okada, the man driving the Okada and herself, they fell. In the process of that, her back, everything went in different direction. When she gathered herself and put everything together, lo and behold, the bunch of keys could not be found. She did like this and finished. The bunch of keys, where they sat, ransacked everywhere they could not. The sister started weeping. How do I explain what is going to happen? She remembered that there was a day they were having us fellowship, all right, in their church. She quickly went there. When she got there, they had not closed. Quickly called the people. This is my problem. Please pray for me. When they saw that, they joined their hands together and they started praying. They started praying. They barely prayed for 30 minutes when the word of knowledge came. Or prophecy to one of the brother. He said, the bunch of keys that you have found, he said, go back to that same spot wherein there was accident. He said the bunch of keys fell down into a gutter and a plank covered the gutter and the bunch of keys is inside a rotten pineapple. Go there on that spot, lift the plank, enter the gutter, you will see a rotten pineapple, the bunch of keys is there. Somebody shout hallelujah. Tell me, who can know that if not for Holy Spirit of God? The brother who saw that, he was not there. But God showed him and he said, go back. The sister ran to the same spot, saw that gutter, lifted the plank, and lo and behold, the bunch of keys was inside the rotten pineapple. God did not allow her to be put to shame because of divine direction. You will not be disgraced in the name of Jesus Christ. Divine direction. Number four, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, he said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. Let us come boldly to where? To the throne of grace. He's asking us to come. That is the place of prayer. That is the mountain of prayer. That is his presence. The place of a prayer. The presence. So let us come boldly. Without any inhibition. Without anything whatsoever. With confidence. With assurance. Let's come to his presence. That we may find grace and mercy to help in the time of need. People of God, you need mercy. At the sister body of one of my friends, 2 days ago, one man was preaching, mentioned something. People didn't realize that. He said what? God doesn't need to fight you or whatever. If there is any problem, you do anything bad to God. And all he needs to do is to just withdraw his grace and mercy from you. If God withdraws his grace and mercy from you for 1 minute, you are gone. And that is what the devil is always waiting for. The devil always say, "Ah, God, it's because you are there. Now leave this man, me and him alone. Just leave, just take it away and let me do something." Without God, none of us is a match for the devil. He's been there for several years. But what makes us to be where we are is because of the grace and mercy of God. Hallelujah. It is not because of anything that you are alive today. Only the grace and the mercy of God. The particular road that you take to your place of work, that you travel every day, people did that and they never returned. And you have done it for several years and you are still alive today. Is there anything that purchased that for you? Only the mercy of God. Is it because of what? You are righteous? How righteous can you be? All your righteousness, they are filthy rags before God. If God will judge you by iniquity, the Bible says, if the Lord will mark iniquity, who shall stand? He said, but there is forgiveness with you, O God, that mears be feared. The Bible says, as the east is far from the west, so has he taken away our transgressions, you know, from us. As the heaven is far from the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. He said, he remembers that we are but dust. He knows our frame. He remembers that what? We are dust. If God will judge by reason of iniquity, no, you will not stand. The man Job said, he said, what is man that he should be clean? Or he that is born of a woman that he should be righteous? He said, the heavens are not, he said, he puts no trust in his saints. He said, the heavens are not clean in his sight. He said, how much more the sons of men would drink iniquity like water. But in spite of that, the Bible says, so great is his mercy towards us. What is mercy? Mercy is a God's pardon for obvious sin or error. Obvious sin. It is clear that you have sinned. Yet, in spite of that, God said, leave him alone. No, leave him alone. I pardon him. I forgive him. The devil wants to say, because he said, let me kill him. God said, no, you cannot kill him. I have pardoned him. My mercy is there for him. You cannot touch him. And the devil will say, oh, you have helped him again. You have helped him again. Tomorrow you do something. The devil will say, nah, it's time for him to kill him. God said, you cannot. Jesus Christ paid enough for his life. I have pardoned him. That is mercy. What is grace? Grace is the ability to do the unusual. Ability to do what? The unusual. Grace. Amazing grace. Unlimited grace. All manner of a grace. You all need it. Money can never buy mercy for you. Wealth can never buy grace for you. It can never. Except God gives you the mercy. And God gives you the grace. You see life now where you need grace. But the Bible says you can only access grace and mercy only when you come to the presence of God. When you are in the presence of God, you visit the presence of God, you will return with a grace and mercy. I call it intangible benefits of a prayer. Intangible benefits of visiting his presence. Grace and mercy, they rub on you. You go with the grace and mercy. I always give this illustration whenever I teach on this. Many of you know the emirs of a Kano, you know, Sokoto and all that. If you visit the palace of emir and you get there are certain perfume or cologne that they use. They are not just the one that the people, very expensive. And when they use it, it is there permanently. They spray it everywhere. Now, somebody, you now go and visit the emir. And you go there, you did not wear perfume, you did not do anything. By the time you go there, they offer you a seat and you sit down for 30 minutes. You know what happens to you? By the time you leave, you go several kilometers, your body will be smelling of what? Of that perfume in what? In the palace of the emir. What has happened? Because you visited the palace, the aroma, all right, the perfume, God rubbed on you and you leave the place with it. That is what grace is and mercy. When you visit the presence of God, the throne of grace in prayer, by the time you are going to your place of work, the aroma that follows you is what? The grace and mercy. That is why that man said that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. But David could say that because of what? He was a man of his presence. You'll be a partaker of the grace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I say you'll be a partaker of the grace in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Somebody shout hallelujah. Let me give this finally before we do a short prayer. Divine protection. In Psalm 91, what said the scripture? He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my strength. My God, in Him will I trust. But there's something said that He that word dwelleth. Everybody say dwelleth. He didn't say a visitor. It is somebody that visits occasionally, but the man that dwells, is resident in the presence of God. The Bible says, there shall be under the shadow of the Almighty. Prayer delivers and prayer helps. Prayer saves. Prayer protects from evil. What anything cannot, prayer will do. I'll share this testimony with you. It was my reverend who shared this testimony many years ago. It's by one IVCU brother. I think their prayer secretary in 1981 or 82. A prayer warrior, a prayer secretary. For those who are there, you know what it means. You know when you say somebody is a prayer secretary at that time. You know, those people are more a different set of people. You visit the room like this, it's like everywhere is a shaking. And that is the truth. Because practically, or they are in the woods praying. That guy had prayed and had saw the face of God. And he was going to Lagos one morning, one Saturday. And he left the U.S. Zikor and he went to Ojo to board the vehicle going to Lagos. He dressed well smartly. On getting there were buses and there were cars. He said, as a child of God, I should not enter bus. I must enter car. So there was somebody sitting in front. Another person was sitting there. So looking, waiting for one two more persons. So he came. And they were collecting money. That time to get from Lagos, Ibadan to Lagos was, I think, 20 naira. And he left Ezekiel with a lot of money in the bucket and everywhere. So the Agbero was asking and collecting money. The man in front gave money, 20 naira. That one gave 20 naira. When he came to the turn of this brother, he looked at the pocket. Nothing. He looked at the pocket, nothing. He did like this. And you know the Agbero, the way they talk. When he started looking like this, he said, look at this one. Oh, fair walk off. Get out from the place. The brother looked everywhere, sat everywhere. He could not find. He said, I took more than 20 naira at this. He could not find anything. Out of annoyance, you are pushing him out. He said, get out. Leave this place. So he left. And he was really, really ashamed. It's like he just wanted, you know, to enter free vehicle. So after some time, the Agbero said that, Lagos by car, Lagos by car, Lagos by car. Another person came and did what? And sat down and presented 20 naira. He said, you better go away. And the vehicle moved. The brother said, what is, am I going to then trek back to UI from Mojo? When that vehicle moved, as he was contemplating on what to do, he just put his hand in the pocket again and saw a bundle of money. He said, what is the meaning of this? What is the meaning of this? I checked this right pocket now. What is going on? So he said, well, I'll still go to Lagos. So what he did was that he brought out the bundle of money and quickly picked, all right, 20 naira and held it. He said, because with the spirit that is taking money away, before I take, let me hold it and be looking at it. So he just took it like this. Another vehicle, another tongue came, said that, all right, Lagos. So he quickly paid. I said, this is 20 naira, and sat down. He said, what is going on this morning? After about 15 minutes, that one also got filled up, and they started moving. 45 minutes into Lagos Ibadan Express Road, that particular car that he was to enter, the man that came in his stead to present, that car has somersaulted several times. That brain of that man saw it on what? On the ground. He was the only man that died in that accident. The Holy Spirit said, I am the one that prevented you from death. I took this 20 naira away from you in order to spare you from death. The brother said, wow. This is what? Divine what? Protection. Are you following me? The Lord will protect you. I said the Lord will protect you. Prayer protects. The presence of God protects. A man that is in the presence, that lives in the presence of God, is protected and spared of evil. The Bible says, "Where delivereth not in the days of a death." He said, "But the righteous man is delivered, and the wicked cometh in his stead." They may not understand what happened at that particular time, but those of us with spiritual insight will understand. That particular day, that particular time, the spirit of death has been released. Are you following me? That spirit has been released. Whenever a spirit of death is released, it must come back with results. If they send it to you and you are powerful and you are strong, if you go to another person, it cannot return without what? Taking someone. So it was that brother that could have died. But the Bible says, the righteous is delivered from death and the wicked cometh in his stead. It was a divine substitution. Because there is no way. The devil, they must bring result back to the devil. So in order for that, they say, well, this man that could have died is too powerful. He has prayed. He's a man of God, all right, or whatever. He's a child of God. He has prayed. We cannot get this one, but we must get another person. Another person entered. You will be delivered in the day of trouble in the name of Jesus Christ. I can go on and on and on and on to share with you the benefits of his presence. But suffice it to say, ladies and gentlemen, we must be men and women of his presence. We must do everything possible to covet his presence. And as we do that, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall reap the benefit. In the name of Jesus Christ.